I speak to you in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. We did a mic check ahead of time, so I'm not sure why we're getting the feedback. Are we fixed now? Before I get started on this sermon, I do want to just say thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for sharing your rector with the diocese. As you might know, John in some ways has the second most important position in the diocese. I think he prays for his bishop every day. Because if something bad happens to me, John, who is president of the standing committee, gets to run the diocese also. So. And it is really great to have a council of advice. We also have other members of this congregation, Peter, who are members of standing committee. But I thank you for your leadership in this diocese, how you've stepped it up over these last several years and really become a centerpiece for us. So thank you. Thank you. Do you hear me? Thank you. So, before I get started on this sermon, this year I have found these, well, over the last several years, I found medals that look like this, that I discovered, I believe it was, folks remember Bishop Hunter giving them these medals. There were two people I found, one in Glen Rock, one in Cheyenne, who received these medals as signs of their office as licensed lay ministers. And I loved those medals, and I thought, I don't know why that tradition went away, so we're going to bring it back. So I would like to invite all of the licensed ministers of this church, lay ministers, to come forward, and I will name you Gary Outland, Christina Hayworth, or Hallworth, Andy Lowe, Roberta Thompson. Come if you're here. Come forward, please. Forrest Amos, Sandy Amos, Peter Clark, Carol Clark, Phil Dorsch, Holland Duell, Mike Evers, Mary Beth Evers, Laura Galloway, Lennon Bruneau, Lois Hall, Paul Hallworth, Lee Helby, Lynn Outland, Stan Petticord, Sherry Petticord, Ann Vaughn, Isabel Wallop, Donna Keeney, Janine McKnight, and Peggy Sorbick. You have a lot of licensed lay ministers. In fact, so far you win the prize in the diocese for the most. Who are we missing?
Sharon Bedard,
please come forward as well. Now, John is going to put these medals on you, and Juanita, why don't you come down and help as well? And then we'll have a prayer. But I'd like you, as you're exercising your licensed lay ministry, to wear these medals as a sign of the office, as your commitment. Maybe I should help as well. Who doesn't know? Oops, I got that turned. Yeah. So the medals have a seal of the Diocese of Wyoming on them, which is also on the confirmation and reception crosses that we'll be giving later. Who doesn't have one yet?
Everyone has.
Okay, so.
Yeah, if you have one.
And I won't quiz you right now on what the symbols mean. But we'll make sure you know that before we're done. In the name of God, and of this diocese, And as your bishop, I give you this symbol of the Diocese of Wyoming as a sign of our appreciation for the ministry of Christ which we share. You are my witnesses, says the Lord, and my servants whom I have chosen. Let us pray. Have regard to our prayer, O gracious Lord, and confirm with your heavenly blessing these your servants, licensed to minister in your church, that with sincere devotion of body and mind, they may offer joyful service to you and to those whom you have called them to serve. Grant to these your workers a pure intention, a patient faith, and the blessedness of serving you through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Please, as you've been doing many times today, give thanks for these folks in their ministry. We often think that ministry happens in church, and the awards I just presented unintentionally support that way of thinking. But as bishop, it is appropriate for me to deeply affirm the good work that happens in church and to support the formation that occurs here. And some ministry does happen in church. Administration of the sacraments, listening to and expounding upon God's word, prayer and worship, pastoral care, and at times healing, godly play or other Christian education programs, groups who organize to do outreach like the ministry of clothing cottages or food pantries, thrift stores. And yet ministry is so much more than happens here, right? So not only do I affirm and give thanks for the good work and for the ways that you're being formed as disciples and being faithful to God's mission, I affirm and support your primary mission of going into the world as Christ's representatives, as the baptized. And that's not just those folks who have the medals around their chest or around their necks. That is for each and every one of us. Every one of you who is baptized. So during this year's round of visitations, it's my desire to not only thank those of you who've given yourselves to licensed lay ministries within your congregation, but to thank each of you who intentionally offer yourselves to the service of God in your daily life, in your prayers, and in your actions. You know, I think most of us may not even realize or think much about when we're serving the Lord throughout a great portion of our day. But perhaps we might even begin to understand that we may be serving and blessing those around us and serving the Lord when we say a kind word to a hassled grocery clerk. You ever run into those folks? Or writing a note to someone we know who is facing challenges. Haven't we all had moments when we are just prompted to reach out? And usually if we discover we haven't acted on those promptings, that we've missed an opportunity. So perhaps even writing a note to one who's facing a challenge when our spirit is prompted is a way of serving the Lord. Or even in the simplest way, engaging in an act of kindness. When we participate in the actions of the baptismal covenant, which we will renew later today, all of us will renew later today. When we participate in the actions of the baptismal covenant, intentionally working at loving our neighbors as ourselves, even our grumpy neighbors, do you have any of those? Are you ever one of those? When we strive for justice and peace among all people and respect the dignity of every human being, especially those whom we find it difficult to respect, When our hearts and minds and actions are set on service in the midst of our daily routine, and when we can utter the name of Jesus as the source of our inspiration, then we are presenting Christ to the world. Then we are offering a vision of a better life and a more hopeful existence. The ministry of the baptized, your ministry, is the primary and first work of the church. You, the laity, are the ones who are predominantly called to carry the good news of God in Christ into the world. We often think it's the clergy's job, but the clergy's job is to empower you, to equip you to carry the gospel into the world. You are the ministers in the world. The clergy are the ministers in the church. Deacons, on the other hand, are to be a bridge between the world and the church. As you live into your baptismal covenant, the covenant you made at your baptism, and the baptismal covenant will renew the promises later today. As you live into that, which we will say again later today, you become agents of change for a better world. And as you practice the new identity you've been given in our Lord Jesus Christ, you become agents of transformation, witnessing to the kingdom of God present in your daily life. And this is not pretend. In Christ, you are a new creation. Can you take that into your heart? In Christ, you are a new creation. How do you feel about that? In Christ, you are a new creation. Can I get an amen or something? Thank you. I wasn't sure you were here. So let me share a story with you about an old friend who has since died. A friend whose witness was simple and bright and clear, a story of a holy man who never would have thought of himself in that way. But to me, he was a holy man. His name was Leslie Banks, one of the most humble men I've known. I met him first in 1989, and we continued our friendship to the end of his life. But by the time I met him, he was already in his 90s. His wife, Jessie, which was really confusing because you have Leslie, who could be a man or a woman, and Jessie, who could be a man or a woman. But his wife, Jessie, had serious health problems. But she continued to be so sweet, though she had had a significant amount of loss of her mental capacity due to a stroke. They continued to live together well into their 90s. And Leslie gave most of his energy and focus devoting himself towards her to make her life more livable. And even after so many years of marriage, and perhaps because of so many years of marriage, they had been married for more than 70 years, they really knew how to respect and treat each other. And it was just beautiful and wonderful and gracious to be in their presence. They just showed so much tenderness and respect. You know, they would look forward. They were English, born in England, and they would look forward to sitting at their metal-legged, linoleum-topped kitchen table. Remember those? And they had those plastic-covered cushy chairs that you stick to in the summertime. And they always would look forward to tea time. Just they always kept their tea time. And I, as a pastor, a priest, you learn these things. So I would always show up at about 4 o'clock because they had great cookies and tea. And it was just so enjoyable to be with them. And Les, in the midst of all of the challenges of taking care of his wife, Jess, and all the rest of the responsibilities he had, was always so up, so happy, so joyful. And I once asked him, Les, what's the secret? What's your secret? What's the secret to your happiness? You're also so full of light and joy. And interestingly, he didn't seem surprised by the question. Perhaps I wasn't the first one to ask it. You know, I know many people with circumstances similar to those who rather than living joyfully are burdened and overwhelmed, weighed down by the continuing struggle of caring for a loved one, people overwhelmed by loss, fearful about what new twists and turns may be coming at the rest of their life, but not less. He seemed able to maintain a centered, childlike freshness. And I wanted to know, what's your secret? How do you do that? And without hesitation, he responded to my inquiry and he said, this is back several years ago, he said, "Father John, I try to bring joy to at least one person every day." Here was the reason he was able to have such a positive focus, because his focus was not on himself, his focus was outside of himself and beyond himself. What Les really wanted to do was to bless a friend or stranger every single day. What an amazing goal. What a joyful piece of wisdom for me to hear. Jesus was his Lord, and he sought to be like him, to be a blesser. We are living in interesting times, aren't we? I want to remind you, as Christians, our first loyalty is to God. Remembering now the first and great commandment given to us by our Lord, you know what that is? Some of you know what that is. That was really good. You did great. Yes, love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. If you do that, what's left? Nothing, really, because you've just given everything to God. But somehow, when we give everything to God, abundance comes back to us. And so we are capable, then, to love our neighbor as ourselves, which Jesus says is the second. How do we do this? How do we do this? You know, the way to do this, even in the midst of suffering and turmoil or chaos around us, is to model our lives after the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is what my friend Les sought to do in his ministry, and each of us are called to. We are called to represent Jesus to the world. Some of the attributes we are called to embody are found in Paul's first letter, or Paul's letter to the Galatians, where he says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Our world, our nation, our politics, our relationships are sorely in need of the sweetness of the fruit that St. Paul describes. Fruit that is a way of living that exudes the Spirit of God. To accomplish this, it may be helpful to embrace a perspective that seeks to see others, to know others, to relate to others in the way we believe our Lord sees them, knows them, and relates to them. And remembering that even in the midst of our worst, Jesus chose to stay in relationship with us. Denials, betrayals, abandonment, cowardice, and the like were not enough to cause Jesus to turn away from us, even when we turned away from him. And that way of being, that kind of acceptance, is the kind of character that we are called to grow into through our relationship with Jesus Christ, assisted by those with whom we share the journey, you with one another. Our world, our nation, our politics appear to be growing increasingly polarized, self-interested, and self-centered. But Jesus offers another way, a way that leads to true joy. Jesus offers a way of service that includes forgiveness. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Could there be any greater forgiveness than the forgiveness that comes from our Lord's willingness to sacrifice his life for ours upon the cross? I think not. Jesus offers a way of service that includes compassion. Throughout the Gospels, our Lord is constantly seeking to bring everyone he comes into contact with into an honest, fulfilling, satisfying, truthful relationship with his Father in heaven. Jesus offers a way of service that includes generosity. And like him, we are called to be generous in our relationships with others, focused on giving rather than receiving, giving of our material, giving encouragement that comes through our faith in Jesus, giving even a simple thing as a smile as we come upon someone, anyone, giving an encouraging word as we meet a stranger, perhaps even in an awkward elevator moment. Because we're all made in the image of God. Giving and focusing on the other, removing attention from ourselves, is perhaps the best way to find and share true joy. So I'm wrapping up now. I want you to know this. Please know how precious you are to God. Please embrace the free gift of God's grace that has been bestowed upon you through your acceptance and relationship with Jesus Christ. Please accept the fact that God made you and calls you to bring more joy, his joy, more life, his life, more grace, his grace, into all your relationships and encounters. And finally, please carve out even a few minutes every day to offer yourself to his service, all that you are and all that you have, to God's purpose. Let God's life live through you. So am I asking too much of you today? Here's what I'm suggesting. Be who you already are. A beloved child of God. A bearer of gifts that are uniquely yours. A servant who brings joy, God's joy, to others. A minister of the good news, God's good news. A person whose name, being, a person whose very being through baptism is in union, one with God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Why do I believe this about you? Because Jesus Christ was born for you. I just want you to know that. Do you know that Jesus Christ was born for you? He came into the world for you, and you, and you, and you, and you, and you, and you. Jesus Christ lived for you so that you would know how to live. We would know how to live. Jesus Christ died for you, so all that stuff that gets in the way can be removed, and you can just have that veil, that curtain open up and understand and have a way to the light and experience the wonder of God. Jesus Christ rose from the dead for you, lifting you with him to the joy of heaven, even here today as we take on his ways. Jesus Christ ascended into heaven for you, and he sent his Holy Spirit to empower you. All of which tells me you are loved by God. Amen?
Amen.
Would you tell the folks next to you that you are loved by God?
You are loved by God.